Well, as you heard in the last half hour, it's been suggested that grants from the government's Provincial Growth Fund could violate world trade rules that block state subsidies for agriculture, which were, of course, phased out decades ago by the fourth Labor government. Shane Jones is the Minister for Regional Economic Development and joins us now. Tēnā koe, kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, tēnā no tātou katoa.
What is your response to claims that funds from this provincial growth fund could violate world trade rules and could actually constitute as subsidies?
Right. The first public reference I encountered on this issue was from David Seymour in the context of a single question he asked me in Parliament, I think, earlier this week. So I believe that the yarn that seems to have got up needs to be seen in the context of political point scoring. There are two ways, your listeners may or may not know, that the WTO gets hot and bothered about alleged subsidies. It's whether or not the introduction by government and the infusion of capital into an enterprise distorts the economy, or where a government states a case, as elements have done in this news, in the steel debate between ourselves and China. We've taken advice during the entirety of our process from MFAT, and we have never once been advised that the things that we are doing is imperiling the good name of New Zealand. I do accept, however, that it's a political debating point, but to step away from that froth, we do not believe that in any way have we fallen afoul of those...
Let's look at this Taranaki Pine loan of up to $1.8 million. Eric Frickberg reported for RNZ this week that the reference to this in a media statement put out by your office, which the original one said it was helping make the factory competitive, that was removed because of these kinds of concerns. Can you confirm that?
Well, I can confirm that it's certainly moving the factory up the value chain away from commodity-based product. And, it is an area, Guyon, where this particular government is sick of just trotting out the rhetoric from volume to value. So it's settling upon a range of interventions to actually help upgrade those enterprises in our regions that are stuck at the wrong end of the commodity cycle. Now, we have to be sensitive about language, largely because, certainly myself, we're not trade lawyers. But I would say that it's getting a balance between the domestic program of a sovereign government and ensuring that we stay within the definition of the rules. So from time to time, because we've inverted the model of economic development to ensure that the regions no longer miss out, we're going to continually be taking advice. And if people need to moderate their language, then I suppose the person who ought to start doing that from time to time is the bloke on this side of the fence.
When you start giving state loans, though, to Westland Milk, you've given them a $10 million loan to help build a new plant. I mean, doesn't that amount to an agricultural subsidy?
Well, obviously, we wouldn't be doing it if the advice that we had received, that the infusions of that nature put us into treacherous territory. Mm.
Will you release that advice, Minister?
Well, there's two parts to that. Number one, there's the terms and conditions, and obviously the audit department, at whatever suits its fancy, can climb into that. Treasury will be across the final terms and conditions. But I say to you, where you've got a region in New Zealand and the orthodox sources of finance have walked away from those regions, and this is what the leaders of the West Coast are telling us, this is what the stakeholders of the West Coast are telling us, subject to us feeling that we, and taking advice that we haven't violated the basis upon which the Crown can re-enter that market and plug the gap of market failure, I've got no hesitation in stopping.
Just finally, and we heard from Malcolm Bailey earlier in the program from New Zealand Dairy Association. He said he was disappointed in your language in the House, and you raised that initially on this question from David Seymour, where you did say that you said you'd sought advice, as you've told us this morning, from Foreign Affairs, and then you say, quote, however, given the adjudication and the appeals of the international trade body are in a state of disarray, I'm not bothered by that at all, end quote. I suppose some are seeing that as being dismissive of the WTO at a time when New Zealand's trying to say, hey, you know, you need to be whiter than white, and we're calling for an overhaul of the WTO because we rely on it so much. What is your response to whether you're being too flippant and too disregarding of this?
I'd say to Mr. Bailey, it's all very well for him and the agricultural industry to have continually relied upon the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to such a point it became known as the Ministry of Fonterra Affairs. Go and ask the fishing industry how well they've done at the WTO over the last 20 to 25 years. So look, I have a very realistic view about the role of the WTO. And the
Hasn't your leader been the head of that department for a good whack of that time?
Sorry, say that again?
Hasn't your leader been the minister responsible for that department for a good whack of that time?
I can assure you, my leader has never, ever once had an unrealistic view about Fonterra. Never. And things that I've said about Fonterra and the need for it to pick up its game enjoy the entire support of my caucus. The point I'm making is that let's not be rosy-eyed about the role of the WTO. Of course, it's incredibly important to our agribusiness sector, but I had a lot to do with the fishery sector, and we were continually disappointed. The point that I've made is that the dysfunctionalism that lies at the appellate division and the arbitration division is very serious, and I agree with Mr. Bailey that that needs to be tidied up. But as Mr. Parker has said, it's unlikely to be tidied up until the unresolved issues are dealt with. Now, a bit of lobbying from the agribusiness sector is not unhelpful. I mean, obviously, they've got a very strong barrier to push. But don't just imagine that other industries have enjoyed quite the clear and plain sailing that his might have had in international trade. The fishing industry has been continually frustrated by inaction at the WTO.
Thanks for your time this morning. Shane Jones, Minister for Regional Economic Development.